Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Witch podcast with me, Carly. Hope you are all well, witches. I haven't got a book review for you today, I'm sorry to say. Struggled with some real doozies of books recently, but reading a couple currently that I will be happy to recommend on the next episodes. Today's episode is, of course, very risque and for the over 18s. It is a far cry from a prim.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Rose Hill episode talking about tea sets and trips to the woods. I am joined by the wonderful Bea, who was previously on our crystals episode. Today she's going to be talking with us about sex magic and many important related topics around it. It is a real deep dive. I make it very awkward in points, as I'm sure you will pick up on at times, but Bea was ever the professional. I just wanted to say in the episode, I referenced me being in the crone phase of life and sort of listened back to it and thought I should clarify. I don't mean that in terms of my life stage, but I guess more the phase of life I see myself in currently, as I believe in all of us, regardless of age, we feel that we might be in that maiden, mother, crone energy at any point. I feel the seasons are changing currently and I'm seeing that daily in nature. So I feel myself sensing that maiden energy coming through in me and with spring and in bulk on the horizon. So I must just say, have an amazing in bulk, witches, in the forthcoming week, however you honour it. On that note, I need to remind you, I do have a little zine called The Hedge Witch's Broomstick that covers the Sabbath of Imbolc and Ostara, and it looks at Brigid, egg witchcraft, the hare, hot cross buns, plants linked to the spring season, such as primroses, bluebells. There are other topics in there, such as all about the besom, the witch's familiar, the element of air, deities such as Ariane Rod and Rhiannon, plenty of spring themed witchy aspects to delve into. I have produced zines that cover the entire year and its Sabbaths, and the link for my Etsy store is in the show notes, and I post all over the world. In terms of what I've been up to recently, I've just released on my Patreon, The Witches Institute, an incredibly witchy episode on the Guardians of the Watchtower. It was one of the most interesting rabbit holes I have been down recently. In that episode, I delve into archangels, kings of each element's kingdom, the ancient origins of the Guardians of the Watchtowers from Mesopotamia and Southern Europe. We touch on alchemy, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, Crowley, Gardner, and Enochian magic. The episode also comes with illustrated grimoire pages that you can print off and keep. The Witches Institute has a ton of Patreon podcast episodes, grimoire sheets, meditations, folklore retellings, access to our witchy community, and just a ton of other witchy content. Linked to that particular episode, there are also podcast episodes and grimoire pages on each of the elements and how you can work with them in your craft. But for now, join me and B after the break to talk all about sex magic. Welcome back. I am here with Bianca, the lady behind Sensual Sorcery. Bea runs spiritual workshops in Colchester, Essex, and you may remember her when she came on the podcast previously to talk crystals. Now she is back to talk about sensuality, sex, and how to incorporate it into our magical practice. Welcome to the show again, Bea.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back. I think it's been like literally a year since the episode came out.
Your episode is the most popular episode of the whole podcast.
I'm so happy to hear that. I've had some really good feedback from it when people have come to see me in person. They've been like, oh, I listened to your podcast. It was amazing. And I was like, oh, thank Carly.
No, I loved doing that episode with you, and obviously, you know, become firm friends since. So I'm really glad to have you on. I was going to say, we're looking at a very different topic today. So firstly, yes. I wanted to ask how you ended up doing this practice yourself.
So I've always been quite a sexual person and quite a sensual one as well. I'm quite, at times, been quite hedonistic. And I was always like the horny one out of the group. I was always like the one with the dirty mind and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of been in touch with my more fiery side. My mum was quite good at not encouraging it in a way, but kind of creating safe spaces for me to discuss the topic of sex and stuff. Yeah. And then as I've got more into my spirituality, I'd probably say in the last 4 years, when I started working with Aphrodite Venus, it just made sense to start looking into it more and start incorporating it. And it probably started off with like mindful masturbation and then kind of excelled from there.
Can you give us some insight into sex magic and how we might want to get started with it?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, disclaimer, just that so people are clear that I'm not a qualified sex therapist. I'm not a healthcare professional, but I am a very body positive, sex positive person. And that this is all for people aged 18 and over and things like that. Just wanted to get that all out of the way because it's good to discuss your boundaries before getting involved in anything sexy.
Yeah.
So I think the first step would be in learning what I mean by sexual magic and sensual magic is that sex and fertility is all around us all the time, and we probably work with it without realizing. So this is just things like when you're watching the birds and the bees flying around, that like there's sex about. So just bees going from like one flower to the next, that's sexual energy. It doesn't have to be penis in vagina sex. And it's just about living in that embodied version of yourself. And you can start to incorporate it in ways like trying to be more mindful of your body. So when you're eating your food, when you're feeling the sun on your skin, and kind of picking up on the idea that we're all made from a sperm and an egg, despite what people's identities might be, we're all created from the same thing. And this is what makes it inclusive, no matter what your gender identity is or what your sexual orientation is that we're all made from a sperm and an egg. We're all made from creative energy. We should be looking to have a balance of masculine and feminine within ourselves so that we can produce things into and manifest things into the life around us. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you just saying that, Bea, has just made me think, like, honestly, I am getting a little bit of a, because this is kind of a collective thing across the years. When mm-hmm. I start talking about sex, there's always a little bit of the feeling of shame that comes up mm-hmm. because that is what we've been taught. And it's kind of, if you, whenever I look to my craft and I kind of very much align with the Morrigan, I really resonated mm-hmm. with what you said about being out of your group, the really like sexual one. I really hope my mum's not listening to this, but if she is, she's a grown woman and she's going to get it. I really resonated with what you said about in your group and the dynamic, because I always used to get ribbed for being like the less glamorous, like Samantha Sex in the City one, because yeah. I was the same. Went to an all-girls school, you know, it was just like sex was just on the brain all the time, and you know that, so I get that. But mm-hmm. I think when I came to the craft, it was the first time I was like, oh my goodness, we've been so, you know, it's just so inherent, the shame that comes around talking about sex. But then if you look at pagan rituals and, you know, going like a maying and so on and going off into the woods and kind of, you know, like maybe like swapping partners and all these things and conversations about different rituals and so on that link to fertility, ancient mm-hmm. ones, it's only in my humble opinion, as you know, the church came in and then ultimately it's demonized and there's tons of shame around it. And that still is kind of inherent in a lot of us. We've come into this topic, and hopefully you can kind of get rid of some of that on our conversation today.
Yeah. And it takes time. Like I still struggle with it sometimes. And I get imposter syndrome as well. Cause I think, you know, when I'm talking about sex, I'm trying to promote sex positive space and things. I think, you know, I'm not having sex all the time. I don't know how to do like all these tips and tricks that, you know, when you think of like a sex guru and you think that they can do like all these somersaults on penises or something, and then I get this imposter syndrome, and I need to relate it back, like we're all sexual in a sense, we're all created from sex, even if it's through fertility treatment, that's still sex energy, if that makes sense.
Also, this all links to abundance, you know, when you were kind mm-hmm. of coming to looking at it in nature and so on. Now I know you have used sex magic in relation to manifesting. Can you talk us through why and how we should and could try this as a practice?
Yeah. So you can just, if you're already somebody who's doing the kind of manifestation things that are coming up at the moment, like journaling, working with the moon cycles, etc., you can do it all alongside that. I think it really helps when, do you know how you're meant to kind of visualize what your dream life would look like or whatever you're trying to manifest would look like? You should really try and move it into all your senses. And I think when you're bringing pleasure to your body, whether that's just giving yourself a massage, whether you're doing like mindful masturbation, whether you're just playing with a area in your body that's particularly sensitive for yourself, it can really tap you into it. And I find that when I'm building up a sexual energy and getting closer to an orgasm, although you don't need to orgasm for this to work, you're still building up that energy regardless. As you're kind of being more in your body and you can feel the energy building, if you're being kind of aware of how your body's going, you can then try and visualize what it would feel like to say, let's say, for example, I'm trying to manifest my business growing and I was wanting to have a shop. I would visualize how that money would feel in my hands, how good my body would feel when I have a customer come through the door, when you make your first big sale and you feel that excitement in your body as you're feeling the pleasure and you keep kind of going and pushing forward and feel the excitement, how good it feels to have your dreams come true. And then upon feeling like you have built enough energy or through your climax, you can then send that out to the energy, that send that energy out to the universe. And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm now talking about sex magic on a really popular podcast, so something must have been working in order for me to get to this point, you know what I mean? And I've used it for other things. I've used it to release pent-up emotions such as anger or blocked tears, where I've built up sexual energy and then I've allowed, as I've been climaxing, to feel that rage surge through me or allow myself to kind of feel super emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which has been mind-blowing because I've definitely had some suppressed emotions down there before that have been released.
I can really relate to that because I have orgasmed and cried and I've been like, where did that come from? Like, what is that? Completely freaked out my ex-partner. Yeah. And it's just been like a huge release and it is one of the highest emotions. And I think when you are in that moment of climax, like there's no shame around it. It just doesn't, you know, it's such a genuine, authentic high vibration that I don't think you can feel any other way. I guess like I'm sort of going off like tangent a bit as well, but I'm glad that you're talking about obviously not just sex magic in relation to working with a partner as well, because I really feel like for many of us there can be a lot of issues. And so a lot of our witches, I'm sure, are trying to like date and it's a bit of a minefield out there. And more of us are single than ever before. And also, you know, it's really difficult with like the hookup culture. And, you know, I've been both sides of the fence. I've been the hookup culture and I'm kind of in my like crone phase of, you know, just like not opting to have sex unless it's with somebody and it's like sacred. And, you know, like I feel like there's my criteria is very different now. So I feel for me like I'm glad that we're getting into this as a solitary practice as well, because there are many issues that many of us might have around it as a practice with a partner. So I guess we are looking at different ways that we can work with sex magic. How can we work with like sex in our magical practice? What are some different ways that we could perhaps do it on our own or I guess with a partner also?
So if you're doing it with a partner, you need to make sure that you have got full consent. I know that sounds obvious, but if it's something, they need to be aware that it's a spiritual aspect and that they may be getting involved in what we would call spell work. Because a lot of people might think, oh yeah, kinky witch, oh yeah, I'm up for this. But they need to really be aware that this is a spiritual thing. And I think we need to be really mindful on who we want to do that with. Because, you know, we do create bonds with people when we're doing magic, even without sex magic. Like if you've ever worked in a coven or worked with another practitioner, it can be very emotional. And if things then don't end up the way you want it, that can be quite painful and energetically draining. So always kind of vet things. But other ways that you can do it is you can also do it symbolically. So if you're not comfortable with sex at all, for whatever reason, perhaps you're asexual, perhaps you've got a lot of trauma around it, you can use symbols. So this might be you can get crystal penises that can represent fertility, masculine energy. You can get athames represent a penis, a chalice mm-hmm. represents a womb. And if you look at the Great Rite from Wicca, where you dip the athame into the chalice, it's literally penetration, but it's purely symbolic. You can do it with your clothes on. So that's a good way to kind of start and just recognizing where the sex is actually popping up that you've already been practicing. Another example I can think of is Yule. You've got the mistletoe berries that are white, and you've got the red holly berries. They very much represent menstrual blood and sperm.
Yeah.
So it's all weaved in there anyway, and just trying to notice where it is a really good starting point. The mindful masturbation's a really good one, and this is a good one to help you work through your shame as well, particularly if you don't masturbate anyway. And don't aim for orgasm to be the goal. Just aim for exploration, curiosity, and pleasure. So you can keep a journal after masturbation, be like, oh, when I was touching my breasts, for example, you might have felt shame that they're not as perky as they used to be or whatever it is. And you can write down, and it can really help you highlight where you might have some issues that you need to work through in order to be able to fully express yourself sexually. You can also look at working on the chakras. So all the chakras, you could argue, can relate to sexual energy. For example, you could say the throat. You could say it helps you express your sexual desires verbally, helps you stand in your own sexual truth. You could also even say like the moaning in the moment could be throat chakra. But the main ones really is the root chakra, which is the physical health of it. So this might be looking after any sexual infections you may get. If you've got things like endometriosis, any kind of pain in this area, erectile dysfunction, that's kind of on the physical side, just to do with the root chakra. Then you've got the sacral chakra, which is what most people think of when they think of sex. And this is all about the playfulness, the pleasure of it, feeling the sensations in your body. And I've always found it interesting that the sacral is also to do with your inner child. And it's the location of the genitals. So it makes sense that it's about sex and child because, you know, we're all made from some form of sexual cells coming together. And then the heart chakra. Let me know if I'm speaking too fast, by the way.
I'm listening. Okay.
The heart chakra is more about our relationship with ourself. So self-love, which is quite important when you're working through these things. And then our relationships with others. So that's when we start having sexual partners. And things like that. There's also, you can incorporate crystals into your sex life. So this could be literally just having crystals around you while you're masturbating or having sex, or it could be even crystal sex toys. I'm a proud owner of a rose quartz dildo and I absolutely love it. Don't always use it sexually because it can be quite cold, but it's cool that you can do that. You can even go into kinkier side of things. Always play safe whenever you get into any kind of kink or any kind of sex, to be honest. But you can use role play, much like we do. Say you're in a coven and you're doing a circle. You might have a high priest or a high priestess. You might have someone taking on the role of a spring fertility goddess. You can bring that into the bedroom. You've even got old tools like the scourge, which is basically a whip. Again, be safe with your practices, but you could, if you're into impact play, you could bring that into its spiritual purposes as well. So there's a lot of things. There's tantra as well. I'm not a specialist in tantra. I don't really do yogic practices, but that's something you can look into. And tantra isn't just about sex. It's much more expansive than that. So yeah, that's a couple of the ways off the top of my head that I can kind of think of. And before I forget, offering orgasms and pleasure as offerings to deities that you work with. Now, I would only do this if you've had like a longer term rapport with a deity. So you've been working with them for a year or so, or quite intimately, rather than just like picking a deity and then throwing an orgasm that way, if you know what I mean.
Okay, this is like going to send me off down even more rabbit holes after this episode.
It's all right, let's go for it, yeah.
So many bits you mentioned, I'm like, oh, this is kind of brought up a tangent for me. I think with the partner aspect, the communication side is so key, isn't it? Because I just think you've got to, before you get anywhere near that, like have so many conversations about what's not going to happen, what you're not happy with. I'm really painfully direct when I, like, I'm a right baggage when I meet somebody, like a potential partner, because I will, like, almost interview them on everything and, you know, kind of have conversations about sex before we, like, weeks, or, like, before we're way off it even happening, because I've just got really specific boundaries. There's lots of things that are not going to happen. And I feel like, you know, when you have those awkward conversations, it just means everything is going to flow so much easier in the moment. Both of you have got your boundaries. You both know what to expect. And it has freaked some guys out that I'm that direct, but I just don't want to get there. And I think the issue can sometimes be, and I think you might relate to this as well, that I find porn can be a huge issue when it comes to sex and partners. I want to say, like, sometimes masculine, you know, for me, obviously I date men, so I do find that porn can be a really tricky thing to navigate, because a lot of people now have these ridiculous concepts about, you know, like you were saying, like acrobatics and things like that, and not all of us are going to be able to do that in the bedroom or even want to, you know. It's not that sort of tone. And I've really sort of struggled with that in the dating world, that, yeah, like, you know, these are my boundaries and I'm not prepared to do this or put up with this and feel uncomfortable, you know. So those conversations definitely sort of separate the wheat from the chaff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, good on you. It saves you wasting your time. And you get to the point where you're like, okay, I want to sleep with you, but haven't mentioned anything that you like or don't like. And then it's just like, oh, cool, great. You know, I think as women, we're often taught to not speak up when something's not good. Like, there's the common story of you're with someone and they don't know where the clitoris is, and they're kind of rubbing your labia rather than the clitoris. Yeah. And we've been told just to let them do it and feel awkward, when all it would take for us is to just direct the hand and go, oh yeah, baby, that's it. But when men are told, yeah, I want you to do this, I want you to bend over, I want to have sex with you, and it's like, it is imbalanced. And I think if someone is perhaps a little bit immature sexually, and it's not necessarily a fault of theirs, we're not given enough education in it, but it can scare them off. But it's probably good that it has, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. If they're willing to work with you and understand what you, a lot of, like, sexual partners will want to hear what you like. They're not going to force on you what they want you to enjoy. And I think that's really liberating when you get to that point, if that makes sense. So, it's just, I really value having those awkward conversations very early on. And so when you finally get to that stage, it's you know, it's a great process. It's a great experience process. A great experience all around.
Yeah. Like, I'm a little bit of a kinkster. Like, to someone who's very vanilla, and there's nothing wrong with being vanilla, I'm quite kinky, but within the kink community, I'm not that kinky. Nonetheless, it's really important, if you are wanting a kinky partner, that you discuss what your fuck yeses are and what your hard no's are. That you discuss safe words and things like that. Like, it's a must. You must do it, otherwise you could end up in some really sticky situations unintentionally. You could unintentionally hurt people. And then you've also got your aftercare. Like, what are you looking for out of this? You know, like, afterwards, if I have sex with someone, I like words of, particularly if it's been kinky or a bit different, I guess, words of affirmation go a long way. Like, oh, that was amazing, I really enjoyed that. And then the feedback of talking about, oh, I'd love to do more of X, Y, or Z. People don't talk about sex enough. People get really awkward around it. And sometimes I get awkward when I've brought it up, and then I see someone else get awkward and I'm like, oh no.
I think it's a very British thing as well.
And I think sometimes it gets misinterpreted as, right, I'm talking about sex, I'm not sexy talking you. And I've had people, I've spoke about sex and they're like, oh, you've been coming on to me. And I'm like, oh no. No, I haven't. I've been talking. Like, you'll know if I'm coming on to you. Trust me. I'm just talking about sex. And and regarding the porn thing, it is tricky because I'm not anti-porn. But I think, we need more, like, there is such thing as ethical porn and pay for your porn. And I try to stay away from pornographic images because as much as it arouses me, post watching it, I'm like, oh, wow, she didn't have cellulite. She had like the pinkest. Am I allowed to say pussy on this?
The pinkest
pussy
are,
I've ever seen, the perkiest titties. And even when you put in like BBW or plus size, because I'm a bigger woman, I'm like, okay, I want to see a woman like me. Sometimes they've got like these big bums and big boobs with like no belly, and I'm like, okay. And then so I've actually veered into the world of audio porn, which is usually done just by people. There doesn't seem to be many professional, like as you would get a professional porn star level of things. And it always comes with content warnings, like these are the words that are used, it might have indications of this, this and this, so you can see if it's for you or not straight off the bat, which I love. And I can just type in actual keywords that will come up rather than just the same thing over and over. But yeah, I think there needs to be a balance. Sorry?
So my issue with porn is that I don't feel that a lot of it is female friendly. And I guess we all have different moods and we might want to take a bit of a, I don't know, you know, maybe like a little bit of rough. But for me, you know, if I'm very much like straightforward, like if you pull my hair or if you put your hands around my throat, you may find my fist connects with your face. I wouldn't really do that. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But
no, but you want that reaction.
Yeah.
That primal reaction's there.
Sex has changed over the years, because going back 10 years ago or whatever, people, there, it wasn't a common thing for you to put your, you know, like for like, it's very much a trend, isn't it? Like putting your hand around someone's throat and things like that. Some people love that. I absolutely get it. We've all got our different things, but if we can have those conversations up front, and, you know, I know we're going to get into this, but for me, like, I have always been very sexually liberated. I've always been very free on that front. I do think when I was younger, I was kind of in control and I loved it. There were moments that definitely, you know, I didn't. There were things that happened to me quite early on that, you know, weren't the best, because I you know, I didn't manage it so well. But generally, my experience of sex has been very good, very healthy. I do think for me, and this isn't necessarily a deity that many think of when it comes to sex, was the Morrigan, because she was really like, you know, empowered female in my mind, you know, had many sexual partners, very sexually free. And I always used to see her as kind of one of my, obviously work with her, but she was the one that always kind of gave me more of that body confidence to not give a toss, and, you know, made me feel more sexual, more empowered with it. But I'll also say I've got quite a lot of masculine energy, and I struggle with the balance of like feminine and masculine. I'm very aware of that. Often a lot of my girlfriends are very in their masculine energy. A lot of my friendships have been with guys. I've worked in very male dominated environments, and I always think, you know, when I was younger, and I think even, you know, a lot of us can probably still think this, that, you know, it always amazes me what people's like attractions are, because we watch porn and everything looks so perfect. But I know some, you know, different friends of mine who've got really different standards of what they fancy compared to what the media tells us that we should and what they find 100%. Attractive and so on. You know, I've genuinely, and I've always been a bigger lady myself, and, you know, I'm not going to toot my own trumpet, but I've gone out with some really nice, good looking guys that I wouldn't necessarily say that I would have thought I was their, you know, kind of type. And I just think that we assume so much because what we see in the media through body, you know, through the body and how we should look, and half of it is absolute bullshit, and it's not what everybody wants at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember, so I've got quite a few male friends, and one of the things I learned when I was in the dating scene prior to the relationship I'm in, and I was over worried about this and that, and if I look like this and that, and they were like, they really don't care. Like, if you're showing them enough attention and you're confident in yourself, they're probably going to want to have sex with you. And sometimes I think as well, this is where we get, I remember, hold on, let me rewind my brain there. So I remember one time this guy was into me, and he was into me because partly because I was fat, like that was part of the initial attraction. And my response was like, oh, why would you like what? Ugh. And he was like, don't you shame me for who I'm interested in. And don't you shame yourself at that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I like that.
No, I absolutely get that. My ex was, oh my God, like so good looking. Like and I remember like thinking, oh, you know, like I am like a bigger girl, you know, and but like he that was his thing. We just can't generalize. We look at people and just assume that everybody's going to go for this, you know, certain ideal, and that's definitely not the case. And, you know, I think that's the one thing I've learned in my 40s, that I've spent most of my life living or thinking, you know, I don't worry about it much at all now, but I spent so much of my life trying to hold myself to these standards.
Yeah.
That no, just, you know, that I wish I'd have known more about this. I guess it's just time, isn't it? And but yeah, like most of our younger times, especially I think, you know, the 90s were particularly toxic. The 2000s, they were really toxic on that front. There was very little body positivity, heroin chic, all of that. And curvy girl, I was just, you know, never any problems, but in my mind I was doomed.
Yeah. There's a lot of unwrapping to do, particularly if you went through the 90s of this perfect image. And we've got all like these filters now, and people only show themselves with makeup at certain angles. So I have to be aware of how much time I'm looking at people on my phone. And then sometimes I just need to go out in public and just to look at people's faces, just everyday people, and go, oh, okay, so you have this, and this flaw. We've all got these flaws. And attraction is so much more than someone looks like. Don't get me wrong, it can help. But I've had guys where I've looked at them, say, across the bar, and I'm like, oh, fuck me, he's gorgeous. I want a piece. And then as soon as he's opened his mouth and said something, it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's just not there for me. And other times I've seen people and I'm like, eh, not my type. And then as I've got to know them, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going to fuck you. there's just so much more to it.
There's such an energy around people though, because I'm such a sapiophile. Like you could be good looking, but if you're not, you know, iron sharpens iron with me, that's what gets me. Like it's not the physical at all. I have to fancy them, but I've met some guys and they've just got this aura and there's something about them, and you know, but for me it's the mind. Like I can't connect with someone if I can't connect with them mentally. Which is a real problem, but yeah.
It's quality control.
It's quality control, yeah. My quality control processes are far too long, but yeah, they seem to pay off. Anyway, I say it, I'm still single, but I'm happily loving being single. I've got to say, like, I know I don't see myself as the spinster on the shelf, and I did for a long time, but now I really do feel a sort of freedom in my, I'm dating, I'm doing all the stuff, but a lot of the time I'm like, you know, my life's good on my own, you know, but I'm good remaining single and enjoying just what's out there for now. I touched a little bit on the deities aspect. I know you work with deities in your practice. So can you talk us through if and how you work with deities in relation to sex magic and your relationship with yourself?
Yeah, so I guess this is my shout out to Aphrodite / Venus. I just call them Aphrodite Venus because for me it's the same energy. So they are my primary deity that I work with. They were the first deity I worked with, and there's been signs throughout my life that have led me to her, as well as just that gut feeling and that knowing as that time come. So it's just been little things over the years. Like I'm a Taurus, my mum was a Libra, we grew up in an all-woman household, it was just the two of us. My rose has always been my favorite flower. I've inherited roses off of like family members who have passed away, one of them being the Bianca rose. I was born on Beltane. I was born on the 1st of May, and the house I was living in, which was a rented house, we didn't put the thing there, but there was a beautiful mural in the tile work of the bathroom that had the birth of Venus, the classical painting on it. And I had my like anyone that's listened to the Crystal podcast, I've mentioned before that I've had psychotic episodes, and one of them was a spiritual psychotic episode. And it kind of felt like, although I wasn't working with Venus during the time of that, that she was there watching over me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I kind of knew it was right. And I remember being in my first relationship I had that was long term. It ended up not the best relationship. But I remember the first time he slept over my house, in the background was Coraline playing. That's what we were watching and we fell asleep to. And in Coraline, I know it sounds weird, but there's a scene where there's a fat woman and she dresses up as Venus and she does a play. And it was only later that I looked back and I was like, oh, you were there. And when I went on my first date with my current partner, who's a much healthier relationship, we went past a new beauty bar that had opened up in town that was called Aphrodite Bar. And I was like, okay, I'm listening. So she's always kind of been there for me. I really started working with her when I re-entered my spiritual phase, because I kind of dropped out of it. And then I re-entered it after my mum passed away. And I was going through a lot of therapy as well. So let me make that clear. I was having therapy while I was working alongside Aphrodite. But it really taught me to love myself, to find my inner goddess, I guess, to up my standards. And whenever I've had messages from her, they've been quite blunt. So it's things like when I've been treating myself like poo, she's been like, the message has basically been like, how do you expect someone to treat you better than you treat yourself?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of standard are you saying? And I was like, oh, okay. So it's been quite blunt for me personally, my experience, but in a really, like, in a how your best mate should be kind of way.
Yeah.
I have an altar to her in my living room. I lit her candle before doing this today to be like, let it all go well. Let me make sense as the words come out my mouth. And I've done meditations with her, journeying with her. And whenever I go to the beach, I offer rose quartz, like chips as offerings. And it's probably resulted in me becoming more aware of what my turn-ons are, more accepting of the kinks that I have. It's inspired me to do more research into like sex and orgasms and things like that. Helps me embodied living. So I've always suffered with low moods, especially in winter. And then the last 4 years, I would say they have improved again alongside therapy. So Aphrodite isn't just about sex and having relationships, but it's about love and joy and laughter in life. So it's just finding the bright side of things. It's enjoying, like going back to how I said you could start introducing sex magic into your life, feeling the warmth on your skin, feeling what it's like to drink fresh water and have your body feel refreshed, how good it feels when you're in the bath and you're washing your body and you can feel the soap slathering around. And that's just brought more joy in my day-to-day life. And I fucking love it so much. Working on the body image is always an ongoing issue. I've had issues with body dysmorphia in the past, and it still crops up here and there. And I've ended up with much better relationships, much better friendships. Much better of a time in general.
Oh, I really, really relate to that, especially around, I was always completely disconnected from my body because I was always so in my head as an overthinker. And the only reason, so I'm like, I'm obsessed with weightlifting. I've bored most of our listeners with this, and I still am. It's like been a long going thing, but it's the only time in my life. And I appreciate that's I'm very able body wise to do that, because I know, you know, not all our listeners are going to be, you know, physically able to do this. I'm very conscious of that as well. But there are other methods that we can connect with our body, because God, the overthinking in relation to my body image was half the issue. And when I could like get out of my mind into my body with weightlifting or any form of even going for a walk or whatever, I did find that my relationship with myself changed, but also with my food as well. And I feel like you were saying about Aphrodite, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I have had so many, I like to think, goddesses kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, can you talk about me now on the podcast? Because like there's always times in my life and I'm like, oh my goodness, do you remember when like Aphrodite was like screaming in your face? There's so many that have kind of I've had things come up for that I'm like, I can't work with all of them. So now I like embody the goddess, just all the aspects of all the goddesses and the maiden, mother and crone, and because I just feel like they're all there and I love them all and I can't choose one. So I've just decided to go with the goddess, and I started, you know, praying to her, working with her the last few months. It's probably around the time of we looked at like Ellen of the Ways, and I just really connected with that ancient like primal goddess energy. And I think that's helped me in terms of connection with myself, and like you were saying, the sort of worth, like the self-worth, and you know, that's really reflected back to me with, like I was saying, like when I meet someone, you know, practically interviewing them for ages before I'll go on a date, and you know, being so straightforward in my boundaries, to the point where I think sometimes when you're direct, people can say that you're a bitch. And I've had that with guys that have been like, oh my God, you're so high maintenance, or a bitch, or whatever. And when I've reflected on it and done therapy, you know, so on, I'm like, no, you're not. It's just some people don't want you to have those boundaries for yourself, especially when it comes around your body and sex. And it's worth noting that those conversations can get some people's backs up if they've got no boundaries for themselves, or that's an area that they're lacking in.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's a projection for their own benefit and things like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But no, I really resonated with, and the thing is, you got me about being born on Beltane, one of the most sexual Sabbaths, in a beautiful way.
It's destined, and you know, to be.
Yeah, like we were saying about the oh my goodness, like how much of the craft, like the tools are related to, you know, like the body parts, like the maypole, you know, that's got phallic association, all of Beltane. I find it so poignant you were born then and talking about this. But yeah, it's so amazing how stifled all of that would have been once the church was forced on people. Not that I'm bashing Christianity, but you know, you've got to think, if you had your certain beliefs and ways and then that was hard pressed on you and you've got no other choice other than to now become Christian in their eyes, you would have lost so much, and then so much shame would have been created around it because of a deterrent to do it. It must have been just crazy.
Yeah, and there's, if you look like historically at the journey of Aphrodite, and it goes before Aphrodite as well, there's like Astarte, Inanna and things like that, but I obviously work with Aphrodite, so that's where it starts for me. So she's Grecian goddess, she's about love and sex and da-da-da-da. She's even got sacred prostitutes, sex workers, and then she evolves into, as we all kind of know, Venus. And Venus ends up becoming more of like a mother figure as opposed to just like that. She kind of moves from maiden into mother, which is absolutely fine. And it's meant to be in one of the kind of origin stories of Rome, is that her son was fled from the Trojan War overwards and ended up leading over there. And that's why Venus is like the mother of Rome. And then as time further goes on and Christianity historically starts to develop, she's then almost basically turned into the Virgin Mary. So she's now not just the mother of Rome, but she's now the Virgin Mother of Rome. So slowly but surely parts of her are picked apart, if that makes sense. And some of her temples were some of the first to kind of be pulled down by Constantine. So yeah, it was quite a poignant move in this shift of energies of the world. And it's, yeah, it's such a shame that people feel so much shame around their own sex and pleasure, and women will shame other women. I've had it where I use sex toys. I'm a massive advocate for sex toys, particularly as a disabled person. It's quite useful if my body is sore. And orgasms are good for pain relief, by the way. You know, and even if you're not disabled, try them and mention, be scared to, and bring them into the bedroom, because it's just added sensation. It's not a replacement. Nothing will ever replace that intimacy, that touch, etc. But I've been at parties where it's been mentioned that I've had sex toys, and they've been like, oh, your partner mustn't be doing a good enough job. Or, oh, I would never do that. And I'm just like, shut up. Amazing. Let me enjoy what I want to enjoy. If it was me saying, oh, I really enjoyed a curry last night, you wouldn't have an issue. It's like, what's your problem? And then I realize it's not that they've got a problem with me, it's that there's a blockage there for them, and that's for them to figure out, not me.
Absolutely. No, I completely understand that. I do get that completely. I wanted to also say about with Aphrodite, I do think she's a really good deity to work with if you have trauma around sex, or we've spoken about body positivity with her, but yes, like any issues around trauma with sex and so on, I really think she's a really healing deity for that, but also for fertility. She's definitely the, in my mind, like the go-to, whereas I always think of the Morrigan for like the kind of, dare I say it, like the Samantha of the Sex and the City world, you know. Aphrodite always seems the more sort of sacred, thinking sex deity, if that makes sense. I was, in terms of trauma as well, so we've touched on this, but any reference to sex can often trigger a lot of different emotions and hang-ups that we might have around our body or former experiences. We touched on it a little bit, but is there anything that you have focused on yourself within your practice as a witch, or even in other ways that connects to and has helped you with this?
Yeah, so again, massive advocate for therapy, especially if it's been a specific trauma or set of traumas, but you can work through just trying to improve your levels of self-respect, I guess, and learning to love yourself is probably the key place to start with it. And again, going back to the, when you're doing masturbation, if something does kind of crop up, write it down, and if you feel like you need to stop, please do. Please listen to your body if it starts to go into that flight or fight mode. Trying to undo some of the body image stuff. For me, it was unfollowing a lot of beauty brands. Now, I love doing my makeup, but a lot of the things, it's like, get this to make your... It basically works off of making you feel inferior. It makes you feel like your lashes aren't long enough. That's why you need our lengthening mascara. You've got wrinkles, so therefore you should try and hide it with this. Also had to unfollow certain fashion brands, and I try and stay away from what we call the fat pants, where it sucks everything in, and I get some people enjoy them, but for me personally, I found that it was making me more shameful of my actual naked body, so I had to kind of stop using those, and just spending more time naked with myself. And that could involve just if you don't feel comfortable being completely naked with yourself, maybe it's just one step at a time, such as taking your bra off and just letting your titties hang while you've still got a top on, but just feeling your body with that weight, particularly if you've got bigger breasts, I guess, and just allowing your body to feel like that. Another thing that I did that's also very useful, so I am disabled. I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, so I get a lot of fatigue and chronic pain. So not only do I sometimes deal with a body image aspect and how my body looks, but it's also trying to have a relationship with something that physically hurts you is difficult. And one of the things that's helped me get over that is kind of doing meditations with my body, or doing rituals with my body, where I've gone to each body part and I've thanked them for the bits that they can do. So for example, I would thank my feet for supporting my weight, because I can stand up, for example. And then trying to look at your body as a functional, pleasurable thing rather than a visual thing, because we're all going to get, newsflash, we're all going to get old, we're all going to die, and we're all going to be dust or rotting bodies, depending on your preference of how you're disposed of at the end of it. As grim as it is, the visual doesn't last there for long, but the pleasure will precede over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place to start. I follow content creators that show real bodies. So I follow some plus size content creators. There's some plus size yoga instructors out there that allow you to adapt for where to pop your belly in certain positions and things. And that's kind of counteracted it. You might need to step away from the stereotypical porn. and try to just see what works with your own fantasies and imagination, and things like that. Spending time in front of the mirror can sometimes help, sometimes make things worse. Again, also, if you've had any issues with body dysmorphia or any kind of eating disorders, you really might want to do this alongside a healthcare professional, because the last thing you want to do is trigger and have like a setback with things. So it's a delicate process. Take it slow and easy, and if it works, keep going. If it's make things worse, stop and try again.
Oh, I love that, absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of sometimes as well when we get emotions come up. Sorry, I'm talking kind of more in the sexual. So in a sex situation, mm-hmm. sometimes it can be confusing. Sometimes things that come up for us, and like you said earlier, sometimes it's kind of stepping away from it afterwards and journaling on it and trying to identify what that core emotion is. Because I've had that in situations with someone, and at the time I'm like, what? Why do I feel really triggered by this? What is this from? And I've like unpacked it, and it's, oh, okay, that links to that. I've got an issue with that because of this, you know. And it's a little bit of shadow work that I've perhaps done around it, or, you know, discussed with like a therapist or someone. Like I recognize I'm very lucky now to have access to work with a therapist financially, because there's times in my life where that was never going to be an option for me to do, mm-hmm. you know, no way. But yeah, I'm very aware. But even if you don't get to work with a therapist here in the UK, there's often, it's very limited, but sometimes you can get free access to counselling and so on. So definitely mm-hmm. seek it out if this does come up. But if that isn't an option, then I think journaling around anything on this front, any shadow work you can do in respect of your body and sex. And I'm so B, sorry, I'm not trying to take the mic.
Go.
I've met someone, and I'm, oh my God, I feel really weird saying this, putting this out there. I've been interviewing someone and started seeing someone, and he's great. Like he's passed like lots of the things with flying colours thus far. I haven't got to that stage. And I've journaled on a lot of things that have come up along the way, because when you meet someone, when you start having sex with someone, it's very hard to remember where you begin and they end. And that's often been my problem in relationships or sexual relationships. So it's very good to, as you go through the process, no matter the stage of your relationship as well, to really like journal on those little triggers that come up, I think, you know, because it can be so overwhelming, especially when you are starting out with a new sexual partner, or even just having conversations with them before you've even got to that stage. So for me, that's been created a lot of sanity around this terrifying process, but enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I think forgiveness, both self-forgiveness and forgiveness of others, is quite powerful. Now, this isn't necessarily talking if someone's been assaulted. That's like a whole different kettle of fish. But it's more those bad sexual experiences that no one really benefited from, or it was quite one-sided. So you can kind of, this is what I've been doing recently. I've been working on the heart chakra, and part of that has been forgiveness for past relationships. I haven't worked on like the abusive emotional aspects yet, but sexually I've looked at the sexual relationships I've had. Particularly when I've been like a teenager and things, and I've had to forgive myself for not having those boundaries in the first place, forgive myself for allowing my pleasure to come second or not even anywhere in the lineup of importance things. I've forgiven others for, like, I've been ghosted before, so it's forgiving someone for doing that because that's their own shit. Forgiving myself for, like, when I've not been in a relationship and cheated, but I've kind of been seeing lightly one person, then another, and then another, because I didn't know what I want. And I've forgiven myself for that. And I think that these moments have been quite healing in me being able to move forward in my sexual journey with myself. And I still have hang-ups. I still sometimes struggle to initiate sex and speak my desires. Well, not I can talk about them, but I sometimes struggle to take steps to have my desires met. So it's an ongoing process, I think, for all of us, and I like to be transparent with it.
I love this conversation, because you've also got me thinking about, I've spent a lot of time the last kind of couple of years, like, living my nun lifestyle of not having sex for a few reasons. Not because I haven't been able to get it, because I'm telling you now, I think most people in the world, if they wanted to, could, you know, like genuinely, there's always someone out there that is a willing participant. But for me, I had such a, really honestly, I had so many years as a, you know, as a younger person with such limiting self-worth that my validation was sought through relationships and sex. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be single, firstly, because very much I think that society was like, if you're single, it was seen as failure. You know, I feel like that was very much a prominent aspect, you know, perhaps a decade ago, a bit further back than that. But also, I just couldn't validate myself. So I always needed to have someone there to do it for me. And in recent years, I've very much been like, I want to not do that. I want to be on my own. But also because for me, like, sex is such a powerful energy. I love creating, and I really feel, and I'm very nervous of this, that when you are, it's all linked to your sacral chakra. So when you're having sex and, you know, I always find that I haven't got so much creative energy, and I'm really conscious of that. Do I want that? Like, do I want to have sex in a relationship with someone, or do I want to hang on to all that stored energy that's not going anywhere to make things? Like, that's my genuine like thoughts on it.
Yeah, that's a real interesting concept, because there's some sex magic practices where they encourage you not to actually orgasm or to release the energy in that sense, but to build it and build it up and up and up, and then don't release it and then use it in other ways. So that is kind of another way you can do sex magic, which is quite interesting. And I relate to that to an extent as well, because I'm historically, I've been the type of person where if the sex is good, like physically good, I will overlook red flags and such, because I get like, there's two things I've ever found like addictive in this world, it's been sex and food. So I've had previous experiences where, like, when I've been in the toxic relationship, where we've had falling out, and it could mean that they've been abusive, and then I've been like, yes, no, we're not doing anything, and then sex will be on the table, and I'll be like, yeah, we can do this. Like, my heart might be out of it, but I'm still engaging in these behaviors that aren't good for me. And the first really good sexual relationship I had when I was 18, he was an asshole, but my attitude was, shut up, get your dick out, and then we can forget about this, no problem, let's just have fun. So for me, when I came out of my 8-year relationship, I had to really not just casually sleep with people, because I knew I'd just fall straight down that rabbit hole again, or just have a series of bad sex and just be sorely disappointed.
Completely relate, honestly. And I think now, on if I'm really honest, it's easier for me to be in my single energy and embrace the hermit, the crone life, whatever I decide that it is now, than it is for me to get back into a relationship, because I've been so used to being with my own self, my own energy. Kind of the concept of sex and all of that feels like a new minefield again, because it's a difficult one. And I guess as well, like, many of our witches might have made the choice that they aren't going to. A lot of us witches, like myself included, we are very, very solitary, not to just the point of our craft, of our life, because sometimes the collective and so on feels just too much. And, you know, sometimes meeting people that you resonate with isn't the easiest, especially when it comes to partners, because, you know, I've met guys that, like, haven't got the witchy thing, and if that's a huge part of your life and it's your spiritual beliefs, and, you know, sometimes it just, you know, it's tricky often to find partners that can understand the life that we're living as well. So a lot of us will remain single because we just don't want to muddy the waters and can't be asked explaining it all to them, or being ridiculed as well, because I've sort of had, you know, obviously they didn't last very long and got a few strong words, but a few guys that have, just sort of been a bit insulting or sarcastic about the witch aspect of me. And that's a huge part of me.
Yeah. I'm really lucky in that my current partner, who is male, is really open-minded and has some spiritual practices of their own. But yeah, I've definitely met people where it's, again, it's like that filtration process of, I try and mention that I'm pagan early on, just to see their reaction, or to mention that I work in a crystal store, just to see their reaction. And yeah, it's a minefield.
Absolutely.
Definitely a minefield.
So, are there any resources or books or podcasts or anything on that front, resources wise, that you would happily recommend for our listeners to explore further?
Yeah, so there's lots of sex specific podcasts out there. Just type into your preferred podcast platform and there's quite a few. There's a lot of it's run by women, which is nice if you are a woman, but there is male ones as well. A book I've recently got that is amazing so far, it's called Sacred Sex. It's by Gabriella Hurstick, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it is so good. Like, she's got activities that you can do, like there's journaling prompts, there's tarot spreads, and the information is so good. And she knew what she was doing, because the book itself feels soft and the font is like this blood red, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I can send you a list of other things to put into the show notes as well, like some body positive Instagrammers and things like that. I'd happily share. And a book called, I always forget what it's called. Again, we'll put it in the notes. I think it's Sextrology. Is that the one that I told you about, Carly?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. I will put that in the show notes as well. Yeah, I know you highly rated that one.
I've had that since I was probably about 16. I brought it back. My mum was like, what on earth? And I was like, look, mum, just let me do it. She was like, all right, suit yourself. And it's got like highlighter all over it, because obviously I was quite young. So whenever I would get like a new partner or had a new crush and this was their thing, I would highlight it. And over the years, it's been really accurate. Not so much with the pairings and how one sign pairs with the other, but it makes sense. So yeah, I really recommend that book as well.
I'm a nightmare for that, with especially like astrological signs. I'm like, if I see someone online, I'm like, no, that's not going to work for me as a Leo. And I know I shouldn't do that, because obviously there's so many other placements you've got in your birth chart.
Yeah,
but there
that's
is a
true
little
as well.
Bit for me that's like, yeah, I already know how this is going to go.
Yeah, your Venus and your Mars are quite important when it comes to sex. Venus more so in relationships and how you have like harmony, a little bit of the sensuality and what feels good. Mars is more in the passionate primal kind of essence. And then the moon is to do with your emotions. So the moon's quite important in that aspect as well. But your sun sign definitely gives off first impressions, if you know what I mean.
Well, you've obviously been doing a lot, and I know you've got a lot coming up this year as well. So what can you tell us that our witches need to know about?
Yeah, so in this coming year, I've got, they're in person at the moment at Colchester, Essex. I do monthly crystal workshops and they all have different themes. So at the moment we're running through the chakras, but we've also had like cleansing, grounding, protection, divination. I'm thinking about moving them online as well. I'm just trying to work out the logistics for that and being careful not to take on too many projects at once, because I know what happens. The main event coming up is at the Colchester Castle Museum on the 15th of February in the evening. It's £15 for tickets and it's an evening of central sorcery. So I will be talking about sex and spirituality. That'll be about a 20-minute talk, so it'll be a much more condensed than this. There will be a historian who works there who's going to be talking about the history of sex, probably more throughout like the Roman times and things like that. And then we're going to be doing like making little vulvas and penises out of clay. So you're making like your own little amulets, even if you don't see it as amulet, even if you're not a pagan, it's still like a fun thing to do. And just by doing that, you're connecting with sexual energy, and it can be good for positive body positivity. There's a lady I know, she runs Boobyful Makes, I think that's the name of the thing. I'll give you her Instagram link. And she did where you make a clay vase and out of a woman's body, so you make it yourself, and that now sits on my Aphrodite altar. But yeah, we'll be doing like a micro version of that, and I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, make sure to check it out, and if you've got any questions about it, just pop me a message and I can explain what's going on. And I'm also going to be starting, so my friends work at Stinging Bullfish, which is a tie-dye company, And they do some really cool crystal inspired tie-dye sometimes. And we're going to be doing like streaming video games and just doing like life chats. So that's another project I've got in the making that's still in early stages. So yeah, lots of exciting stuff happening. Just follow me and I'll post about it really excitedly when it's going to happen.
I love this. Absolutely love this. I've loved this topic. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm just trying to mainly focus my life on doing witchy things and weightlifting or whatever, I'm sometimes like poo-poo, you know, sort of worrying about my sex life and relationships and so on. But then I remind myself, B, if you look at the goddesses and the gods, you know, and all the mythology, most of that, pretty much all of that was, you know, all these ups and downs that related to sex and love. And that just shows you how important it has been and always will be.
Yeah. And we, you know, I really advise everyone to learn to fuck yourself really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you don't need someone to fill that thing, that you don't need someone to fill that hole, sorry. And it's just so liberating to know you don't need someone to do that for you. You're not gonna have to put up with X, Y, and Z to just try and get something satisfied. And we also can't expect someone to bring us pleasure if we don't know what pleasure is for us. Otherwise they're just in as much of a guessing game as you are.
Absolutely. So having that clarity and understanding from, you know, from us working with ourselves, what it is we want and what we enjoy. And yeah, absolutely. This has been such an enlightening conversation and I'm really glad we got into it. I feel like we really got into the bones of it and, you know, pushed some boundaries on some of the conversations. Yes. I feel really like positive about this. It's given me a lot of food for thought. B, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so grateful.
I love talking about this in a healthy environment as well, where I'm where we're heard and we're allowed to express ourselves, and no not a shameful space, but a nice open safe one. It's been beautiful. Thank you.